Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and we have a very busy day here on Drive Time Sports. The NBA playoff picture is set. We know the Utah Jazz will open up the playoffs on Monday. They'll go toe-to-toe with the Denver Nuggets early tip-off in that contest. I want to talk about all the first-round matchups. Western Conference, Eastern Conference. We have some exciting playoff basketball that will actually begin tomorrow as the Blazers and the Grizzlies go toe-to-toe. It was important for Portland to jump to the 8 seed because they only have to beat Memphis once to get into the playoffs. Memphis, they'll have to beat Portland twice. I think that's way too tall of a task with the way that team is equipped at the moment. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Locally, very big day. The return of high school football. And I know that the fall sports season's been off and rolling for a bit. We're about three games into the soccer season. Golf began this week. But football makes its return tonight. We're back in the broadcast booth. Been a very long time since I've been able to call a game. I'll be joined by Travis Anderson. We'll be at Millard High School tonight. It's important for these athletes, and I don't think that we can overstate this enough. These kids have been working all summer long. And I feel for the kids that didn't get a spring sports season. And I tip my hat to these student athletes that have been performing and practicing and preparing all summer long for the fall sports season with all the uncertainty. We didn't know if we'd get a football season. We didn't know if we'd get a fall sports season. But it's here. It's off and rolling tonight. Emory High School football will begin at 6:25 right here on KOAL. Today on the show, you're going to hear from Aiden Mortensen. He's a senior on this year's Emory football team. I had the pleasure of speaking with him earlier this week, so we'll play that interview for you. What's it been like for an athlete during the summer, not knowing if you're going to get a fall season or not? That'll be an interesting interview. Speaking of golf, the Carbon High School boys golf team, they got off to a rip-roaring start. 18-stroke lead over the competition under first-year head coach Robbie Etzel. Coach Etzel is going to join us next segment here on the show, so that's a rundown of what we have coming up. Coach Robbie Etzel from Carbon High School's golf team. We'll catch up with Aiden Mortensen, senior on the Emory High School football team. And we're going to be joined by a great friend of mine, Jabari Davis, of the Dunks and Discourse podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Looking forward to today's show. A lot of information, a lot of topics, both local and nationally. Let's take a look at the schedule, and we will begin in the NBA. Well, right now we have a game going on between Miami and Indiana. Very vanilla contest because these two teams will go toe-to-toe in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. We will have the Clippers and the Thunder at 4:30 p.m. and also Philly and Houston. None of these games matter. None of them at all. Because, well, ultimately, the playoff picture, it has been set already. Now, as far as final scores today, the Raptors did beat the Nuggets 117-109. But again, these are taxi squads going toe-to-toe with one another. That is not the case in Major League Baseball, and we have a full day of big league ball coming up. For starters, we'll get the final couple of innings of the Orioles and Nationals. In fact, that's going on right now, and then those two teams will go toe-to-toe at 5:30 tonight. So Washington and Baltimore playing a makeup game and at the same time getting a regular game tonight. The Nationals have been hitting the ball much better. Trey Turner finally finding his rhythm offensively for the Nationals, but a long way for this team to go. Still to come, 4:30 start time for the Rays and the Blue Jays. Tampa Bay, no surprise, 12-8 winning record. The Blue Jays have struggled up to this point in time. Yankees-Red Sox, this rivalry packs a little bit more heat when the Red Sox are good. They're just not a good baseball team. The Yankees, after a blazing start, have cooled off a little bit. They're at 12-6. We get the Mets and the Phillies at 5 o'clock. Also, the Pirates and the Reds. We'll get the Indians and the Tigers and the Braves and the Marlins. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, like I said, the Nationals and the Orioles game 2. 6:15 tonight, we get the Brewers and the Cubs. The Rangers will travel to meet the Colorado Rockies. 7 o'clock start time tonight for the Mariners and the Astros. The Padres will take on the Diamondbacks. It's the Freeway Series as the Dodgers will battle the Anaheim Angels at 7:40. And then we get the A's and the Giants at 7:45. No St. Louis Cardinal baseball. Their game with the White Sox has been postponed. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front from a schedule standpoint. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We have a lot to get to on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk to three different people, and we'll get you prepared for tonight. Carbon, ALA, that's at home for the Dinos on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. And then right here on KOAL, we have Emery and Millard. It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're live from the Auto Forum Studios on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
I know it's the beginning of high school football tonight, but you can't forget about the other fall sports that have already begun their season. For instance, soccer. We're, what, three games deep into the season? We also started the golf season this week as well. The Carbon Dinos traveled on the road to Round Valley, the home site of this year's 3A state championship tournament, and they took care of business in league play, picking up an 18-stroke win behind a brilliant, brilliant performance from Bodie Salas, who shot a 69. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, first-year head coach Robbie Etzel, joining us right now over the phone. And, Coach, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure, Jordan.
Coach, it was a stellar performance for your boys right out of the gate, taking on really a pretty competitive group of Region 12 teams, and we know that Richfield's going to be good. Emory appears to be much better. We'll talk about the competition in just a bit, but to no surprise, sophomore Bodie Salas, he just once again impresses all the way around, shoots a low 69, and you guys pick up an 18-stroke win.
Yeah, we had four real solid scores that came in there, but it makes it easy to have somebody like Bodie Salas, who's going to go out every match and who's going to shoot close to even par, and he really he played well. He played really well.
I know it's a team sport, and even those number five and number six golfers, Coach, that you've got to be pleasantly surprised with them from time to time if you're going to win a state championship. But nonetheless, when you look at the way Bodie played and you take a look at the scores behind him, Darren Gardner's another kid. This is a sophomore that really we had to rely upon last year. How impressed were you with golfers 2, 3, and 4?
So we had traveled up earlier in the week. A lot of these boys, this was only their second time seeing this course. They'd played it a couple days before. And we had the opportunity to actually play tees the second day that were a little bit easier. But besides that, they all came out. And even though that they struggled, I know that they all said that they could have definitely improved close to 5 or 10 strokes. But I think coming down the stretch is what really put us ahead of the other groups. We got a little bit of that crosswind coming through those canyons up there towards Morgan at the end of the day. And I knew coming down the stretch that anything in the mid-80s, especially with Bodie finishing in the first group at a 69, was going to probably take it. So I was pleasantly surprised with the way our boys finished. I was happy with that.
Looking at the complete team, Coach, once you get past the fourth score, just looking at the way those boys performed, what was your takeaway there as far as the depth of this team?
Yeah, it's nice to have four or five solid guys. Jakubic kind of, he struggled, but he was unable to travel up with us earlier in the week to play. Morgan, Round Valley is definitely a course that you want to know where you can hit the ball and where you want to miss it. So it's one that the more you play it, the more comfortable you'll feel around the greens and on the course in general. So we struggled kind of in our fifth and sixth spot, but I think as the boys play a little bit more throughout the year and get used to the competitive region that we're in and the different courses, they'll definitely improve those scores.
Yeah, if we look at just individual play throughout the region, I mean, outside of Bodie, Grant's got Wyatt Toney. He played very well. I believe he shot a 77, if memory serves me right. We know that South Sevier's got Carson Thornock as well. Richfield's a team that took second in this meet, but this is more of a group of guys that are just going to be consistently good. Individually, even team-wise, I mean, Coach, this is going to be a very deep region.
You know what? I wasn't sure, talking with the boys earlier in the year, who the kind of standout golfers would be on the other teams. I was surprised myself to see, you know, I heard Richfield had a bad day. I'd love to have a bad day and have four guys in the 80s any day. So they definitely are deep, like the Carbon team, for sure. South Sevier had Carson Thornock. He threw up a 79. There were quite a few guys from the other teams that threw up some pretty decent scores, especially for it being kind of a neutral course where State's going to be. I wouldn't be a bit surprised when we start to travel to, say, Coldview down in Richfield or the Emory course that we see some very competitive scores with these other teams. It is a very deep region for being as young as they are.
There's no question, and I know you just mentioned a moment ago, Morgan, this is the home site for the state championship. Coach, you're going to see it a couple of more times, but as you evaluate the way the kids performed, are you really comfortable with saying, okay, this is where we're going to have to win a state championship, and how do you, I guess, scheme off a couple of more strokes to make sure you float around that 315, 310 range, which seems to be the magic number at State?
I think for the boys, it's more or less going to be getting a comfortable enough lead in Region 12 that you can focus on traveling and playing that state course up in Morgan. Of course, you're going to see Morgan that's in 3A. They're going to have a little bit of a comfortable advantage going into the state championship. They have a very deep team as well, and I know it makes a big difference when the course that you're practicing on all year is also going to be the site of the state tournament. So that's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for us. But I know with our boys, if they just keep improving and all of them can shave off a few strokes here and there, they're a team that can easily throw up a number in the 310s, low 300s. I have 100% faith that they can definitely make it a very competitive state championship in the region. So,
again, our guest right now is Coach Robbie Etzel of the Carbon Dino Boys Golf Squad. Coach, let's talk about the upcoming schedule. Right now, 324 strokes for Carbon, 342 for Richfield, so an 18-stroke lead. Now you got to go to Richfield's course, and this is the first of two trips to Coldview. You're a former player. You've been in this situation before. What stands out to you about the Coldview course?
The nice thing for the Carbon boys, a lot of people who grow up playing Carbon Country Club know that the Coldview course was actually designed by the same gentleman. So it plays really similar to our home course. That'll make it a little easier for us going down there and playing than say, for some of the boys who are coming from Emory or from San Juan, for example. But yeah, more or less, I just get the boys comfortable with our course here, and they shouldn't have any problem adjusting to the greens and the fairways down there in Richfield.
It is one of those unique situations where, again, you got to go to this course twice, but nonetheless, Richfield seems to be the big major competition for you guys in this region. If you could find a way to top Richfield on their home course the first go-around, I'm not going to say that you guys basically win region, but, I mean, it puts you in such a good spot, Coach. The boys really set themselves up well with their performance this past Wednesday for what lies ahead on Tuesday.
Yeah, of course. If we can stay close to the Richfield team at the two matches that they have at Coldview, they should have no problem clinching first in our region. I know when we travel to the Hideout Golf Course down in Monticello, if we can just keep ourselves anywhere in the low 300s, right in there, 300 to 330, 340, that's a course that you're going to see a lot of kids throw up some larger numbers. It's probably the toughest golf course that we play, and we'll travel there, not next week, but the week after. So more or less, if we can make it through the two matches at Coldview and play well here at home later in the season, we should have no problems. We should be able to coast into a first place for sure.
A little bit less of prep time for you guys. As I mentioned, August 18th, so we're looking at a Tuesday restart instead of a Wednesday. So, Coach, what does it look like between now and then for this team, and how do you get these boys ready in a short period of time?
It's one of those things where if you're struggling with your swing, it doesn't give you a lot of time to work on that. It's more or less just getting your fundamentals under control, make sure you're striking the ball well, and working on your short game. For sure. I would say Round Valley, our boys did struggle a little bit. When you travel to a course that you're not comfortable on the greens, it can make it a little more difficult. So if we can get our short game to where we're feeling comfortable traveling down to Richfield, and as long as we're striking the ball well, I'm not too worried about the boys.
And what was it like for you? First time head coach, your first meet. I mean, you're going toe-to-toe with some great group of competition, and you're not a player anymore. You're a coach. What was that like for you?
You know what? I enjoyed it. It was kind of nice getting a chance to meet with the other coaches and being out there with the boys. Like I said, any day on the golf course is a good day, whether you're playing or a coach, for that matter. And Morgan, course that they have up there, as small of an area that they live in, it kind of has that small town feel. They have a beautiful course up there, so to go up there and to be able to enjoy the nice views that they have from the golf course, and the boys throw up a 324, it was a great time for me, so I'm excited for next week for sure.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement now circling through the county with the way the boys performed. And I guess a top performance like that, Coach, I'm sure the boys have been a joy to be around this week in practice as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement in the Suburban on the way home. But it is a little sobering knowing that you have to go to Richfield the week after. They have kind of a home course advantage, and I was hoping we'd have been up closer to 25 or 30 strokes. 18 still cutting it a little close because, like I've mentioned before, it's going to be a tight race between us and Richfield, and they have a team that's just as deep as ours. So I think as long as the boys can go in there, feel comfortable knowing that they have a bit of a lead, and just throwing out decent numbers, we should be just fine next week.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time for us today. Best of luck next Tuesday, and hopefully we'll catch up again next week.
Yep, of course, Jordan. I appreciate it.
That's Coach Robbie Edsel here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We do have more local sports coming up in just a moment. We're going to continue to preview tonight's football game between Emory and Millard. You're going to hear from Emory High School senior Aiden Mortensen. I had the opportunity to sit down with Aiden earlier this week. Plus, we'll talk NBA basketball. We know it's the Jazz and the Nuggets. It's a favorable matchup for Utah. It really is. We'll talk about that and more when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
The NBA bubble is really starting to heat up. A lot of storylines as we get to the final day. And now we're preparing for the playoffs, which officially begin tomorrow. We're going to get the Blazers and the Grizzlies, the play-in game. It's one of those nuances that Commissioner Adam Silver can kind of toy with. Maybe we get it long-term. We can talk about that. We'll also talk about the Phoenix Suns. They did everything that they could possibly do, literally. 8-0 in the bubble. They still don't get into the play-in game. And we'll start to preview the upcoming playoff matchups right now with a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Jabari Davis of the Dunks and Discourse podcast. We're going to talk about that as well. Jabari, a pleasure. Thank you again for joining us this Friday afternoon.
Jordan, you know the pleasure is always all mine. I appreciate you having me again.
Yeah, I always love the conversations. And we can start by talking about the Phoenix Suns. It is a little bit of a downer. You know, the Western Conference gave us so much intrigue. I tipped my hat to the San Antonio Spurs earlier this week. I raised my glass. I said cheers because Greg Popovich had that team somehow, some way in contention to sneak into the playoffs. That was mind-boggling to me. You look at the way the Sacramento Kings played late. You look at the way the Phoenix Suns played. All three of those teams that I just mentioned played much better than Memphis in this bubble, yet it's Memphis and Portland due to what Memphis was able to do in the regular season. Jabari, all in all, the Phoenix Suns are going to be a problem for a while, I think, the way things are going right now within that organization. 8-0 in the bubble. I know they're not playing in the postseason, but my goodness, that was some top-notch basketball.
Yeah, you know, I look at it like this. The bubble, all things considered, was wildly successful. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got everything we wanted from it. Everybody stayed relatively healthy. Yeah, of course there were some injuries and some unfortunate situations prayers to them, and I wish everybody a speedy recovery, like, you know, Jonathan Isaac and everybody that, you know, was lost for that. But the bubble was great. I get people being, you know, like, you know, feeling for the Suns or feeling for some of these teams that played really, really well but still fell short. But to your point, that's where it's at for me. I look more at this as, hey, look, you didn't make it specifically because you weren't good enough over the course of the regular season. But look, moving forward, and, you know, it's funny because this comes a week after, or, like, you know, within the same calendar week of Draymond Green and several people saying things like, we have to get Book out of there. The Suns have a future, and it's the first time in a long time it looks that way. Props to the organization, and, you know, they got ripped when they deserved it, so they should get the props when they deserved it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And the way this team has been built, there's a bright future for Phoenix. There's no question about it. And then you take a look at tomorrow's first play-in game. Now, the Blazers have moved to the 8th spot, and that is so monumental because you have to beat this team twice if you're Memphis. And Jabari, I got to be honest with you. Look, let me just flat out say it. That's not going to happen. We're going to get the Lakers and the Blazers in the opening round. That's the 1-8 matchup. There is no way. I see no path for Memphis to beat this team twice. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, I never say never because, of course, anything could take place, but I'm right there with you. I'm on the same exact page. I think this is over Saturday. Maybe if Memphis was at full strength, they had Jaren Jackson Jr., everybody was rolling, I could say, like, hey, you know what, let's see if they make it interesting. But, I like I said, I genuinely think we're going to ultimately get Blazers and Lakers in that first round, and I think it's going to be done on Saturday.
Okay, well, that's a great starting point. Let's talk about the Western Conference playoff matchups. Lakers-Blazers. A couple of weeks ago, I said here on the show, I could see Portland taking the Lakers 6-7 games. As I really dig a little bit more deep into it, I think the Lakers are going to have to work in this series. There's no question. But Jabari, I'm changing my mind. I don't believe this goes 7 games. I don't believe it goes 6 games. I think the Lakers win in 5. And I think it could be one of those series when you go back, gosh, it has been, what, 5-6 years ago, Memphis and San Antonio. If I'm not mistaken, San Antonio pulled off a sweep, but every game went down to the wire. I'm sure you remember the series that I was talking about, right? It was a hard-fought series for San Antonio, but they got the Grizzlies out in 4 games. I believe it's going to be a similar series to that. I think there's going to be moments in this series where I look at Portland, I look at the backcourt, CJ McCollum, we look at Damian Lillard, we say, wow, this team can play. Like, this team's legit, right? This team, they got Nurkic down low. Like, this team is a little bit better than what their record indicates. But at the end of the day, Portland just doesn't play enough defense for my liking, and that's a problem against this Laker team when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we saw over this stretch. Now, you know, props to Portland. They went 6-2 in the bubble as well. You know, absolutely no shade there, or nor shame, but you're right. They don't defend anybody. Now, if you get into a track meet with them and you just try to outscore them and you don't put it to that backcourt, then you know what? They might be able to surprise you. They might be able to extend things. They might be able to, you know, make it an interesting series. But I've kind of settled on the fact that the Lakers are a better team than this Portland Trail Blazers team, even with Portland playing well, even with Dame being absolutely on fire and ridiculous right now, even with McCollum gutting his way through that back injury, with Nurkic back, with, you know, Gary Trent, with all of that, the Lakers still have a better team because their duo is better than, in my opinion, better than any other duo out there, but at least in the same conversation with every duo, and better than what Portland has. I think this goes either 4 or 5. If LeBron isn't fully healthy, maybe it goes 6. And to be honest with you, that's an extended conversation, you know, for down the road. But yeah, we're on the same page. If LeBron's healthy and the Lakers take care of business, it's a hard fought, you know, either sweep or gentleman sweep, but probably gentleman sweep. Because, you know, deep down, I still say, like, yeah, you know, I'm not betting on Dame getting swept.
Yeah, look, Dame Lillard has just been absolutely ridiculous. One of the top three or four players that we've been able to watch in the bubble, hands down. Dame has just been absolutely ridiculous. Again, talent typically wins out, especially in a seven-game set. Let's jump to the other LA team. The Clippers get the Mavericks. And maybe this is me being, dare I say, pessimistic towards the Clippers. I don't have a lot of faith in this team. I know they have Kawhi. I know they have Paul George. I believe there's chemistry issues. Jabari, I don't know that there's a worse matchup of the first round for the Clippers than the Dallas Mavericks with what the Mavericks are capable of doing. Now, I'm not saying the Clippers are going to lose this series. I'm not going to say that. But if we're going to talk about the Blazers giving the Lakers problems, I think the Mavericks could give the Clippers problems as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I'm on the opposite end of that, but we're still kind of in the same place. The Mavericks can make things interesting and fun because, look, obviously, if you got Luka and Porzingis starting there, you're starting off on a good setting. Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing well. They get great minutes out of Maxi Kleber. Look, the Mavericks are legit. You know, Rick Carlisle gets those guys to play hard, to play well. All of that said, I think the Clippers take care of them. I wouldn't think it would be a sweep, but kind of like in the same vibe, I think it's going to be right around five games.
Yeah, I think it's competitive, though. I think it's compelling. I think the Mavericks, they just have enough firepower where a chemistry issue from L.A. could play a factor in a game or two in the series. I really believe that.
Oh, it's certainly possible. And, you know, and look, L.A., you know, as much as those guys seem to like one another and, you know, they play for one another and everything, due to the circumstances, you know, whether it was, you know, Montrezl Harrell having a death in a family or an illness in a family or something like that, Lou Williams, you know, in his situation, they're still trying to work people back into the mix, and they're still going to, there's still unsettled questions. There's still things that we have to see them, you know, be able to put it together as a, you know, as a group. I'm not saying it's going to be a sweep. I'm not saying in any way that they're going to just, you know, just mop the floor with Dallas, but I would be surprised. Like, that would be an upset if they were to lose.
Again, Jabari Davis, our guest right now, co-host of the podcast Dunks and Discourse. We'll get to that in just a moment. Jabari, while we're talking about the NBA and we're talking about the Western Conference playoffs, we have to bring up the Utah Jazz, no question about it. This is a team that's kind of limping into the postseason. The Jazz dropped to the sixth seed. They get the Denver Nuggets. I'm curious as to your thoughts on this first-round matchup for Utah.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. This one might be a rough one. And look, I'm, again, not saying that they're going to get dusted or anything of that nature, but I would feel a heck of a lot better if two things were the case. If they had Bogdanovich in the mix, and if we didn't see Michael Porter Jr. just go ahead and ascend to the level that we kind of all were wondering if he could get there, or we were wondering if his body would be healthy enough to let him get there. Denver's kind of rolling, and that makes them a little bit more dangerous than I would have anticipated kind of heading into the bubble, because, you know, we've discussed this. I haven't been sold on Denver as actual contenders these last couple of years when everybody's been saying it, but that said, they're getting healthy. They got Jamal Murray back. Michael Porter Jr. is playing well. Jokic obviously is in great shape. It would be difficult for me to see Utah pulling this one off, especially shorthanded.
So let's talk 4-5 matchup. This one is the most interesting for me based on the narrative, right? Because offseason, Oklahoma City, they move on from Paul George. They move on from Russell Westbrook. We look at the Thunder as being in a rebuilding stage. Chris Paul now has a new home in the Russell Westbrook deal. And we're thinking, okay, does Chris Paul ever play a day in a Thunder uniform? There was a point in time I didn't think we would ever see him in an OKC uniform. And I remember media day thinking, oh, that's cute. Yeah, okay, go ahead and buy a Chris Paul jersey. Just get that jersey insurance because there's no way he's going to be on this team much longer. Not only that, Oklahoma City is the 4 seed and Houston is the 5 seed. I mean, if you look at Chris Paul's career based on expectations, hard to say this hasn't been the most successful season that this man has ever had. I mean, seriously, based upon expectations, Jabari.
Yeah, I think you hit it exactly on the head. It's the expectations. Like, usually a Chris Paul-led team has all types of expectations. We at least expect them to be competitive. We expect them to be right there in the mix. And if everybody's healthy, hey, they have a shot. Heading into this year, I'm going to say this, and a lot of people don't like to admit things like this. I was dead wrong, because like you, I thought we weren't going to see him in a uniform. I thought they would work it out, and he would be in Miami or somewhere that they were able to work out a multi-team deal, and, you know, just to get him off the books. And then ultimately, it would be another situation where Presti was continuing the stockpile. But props to them. I have to give credit to Billy Donovan, because I've questioned his his ability to his ability as a coach in the past. While I still question him in a certain situation, like I don't necessarily know that he's the guy that is going to take stars and wrangle them and put them together and make a deep run. But I do think he's the type of guy that can, you know, get like a scrappy team, a team with the personality and attitude of, you know, old man Chris Paul, and get them to play above, you know, above and beyond. And he has done that. So props to them. I give them credit. I would not have anticipated them being there. And I say all of those nice things to say that Houston's going to get them.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. So we don't really have to recap. You're taking the Lakers, you're taking the Clippers, you're taking the Nuggets, you're taking the Rockets. Those are your four winners in the Western Conference.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on the East. I really don't, because we don't need a preview of Milwaukee-Orlando. That's going to be a wash. We don't need a preview Toronto and Brooklyn, because, again, Brooklyn may, in fact, be the worst team in the bubble. So with that being said, we have two matchups to really talk about, Boston and Philly. And there's questions about Kemba's knee. We know there's no Ben Simmons. And then you have Miami and Indiana. And so in my mind, due to the injury concerns that I have, Indiana-Miami may in fact be the most interesting Eastern Conference first-round matchup in my mind.
Yeah, you know what? It might be. And to that point, exactly, because of the injuries. Like a couple weeks ago, I thought, like, oh, man, we're going to finally get great playoff series all come on both sides of the bracket from start to finish. Well, it sounded great, and then I guess I kind of forgot that Orlando was there, and that, you know, that they were going to be in one of the series. And then obviously, I didn't know at the time that Ben Simmons was going to be out. I didn't know about Kemba's situation. Look, I hate this time of year, specifically, you know, due to the injury bug. You would have thought, you know, coming after, you know, after 4 months off, that we might have been able to get lucky, but, you know, obviously that was not the case. I agree with you. But yeah, I agree. That's probably going to be the best, you know, the best series and the only opening round series that's, you know, worth, you know, really digging into.
Milwaukee, Toronto. You're rolling with Boston, then, I would assume, correct?
Yes, Boston in that series.
And then Indiana, Miami. Who do you have?
Man, I think it's going to be a great matchup. I actually think it's going to go at least six. I got Miami
as well. I can't disagree with you on any of the predictions. Maybe the only thing, I think Utah and Denver may be a little bit more interesting. I know you mentioned Michael Porter. Really, it's hard to argue. I'm so glad to see this kid succeeding as well. Hard to go against the selections you made in the opening round. Jabari, we'll end with this. The most compelling storyline in the postseason is what?
At the end?
At the end, looking at the whole scheme of the playoffs, what is the most compelling storyline to you?
It's absolutely going to be whoever survives this. Because, look, we went into it thinking, hey, look, please just everybody stay healthy and let's see what the basketball looks like. It's probably not going to look great. All of that has been dispelled. It has looked great. People have stayed relatively healthy. People have stayed healthy, at least from a corona standpoint. But ultimately, if you, going through the first 4 months, going through the first part of the season, and then you go through the 4 months off, you come into this weird situation where nobody knew what to anticipate. And certainly, the players are in a completely different situation that they've ever been accustomed to, or certainly been accustomed to as professionals. And if you ultimately get through this, I think that's going to be the story. The story of this is going to be whomever survives is the champion.
Jabari Davis, again, he's a co-host of Dunks and Discourse, also available on the Blue Wire Pods Network. Jabari, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of Jabari Davis.
Jordan, again, I appreciate you having me. It is truly my pleasure each time. I'm simple on Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA. As Jordan mentioned, Dunks and Discourse for the Blue Wire Pod Network. Shout out to my guy, Josh. I look forward to doing it each time.
Jabari, again, a pleasure to get you on. Thank you so much for the time today, and I know we'll do it again real soon. It's a pleasure to get you on throughout the playoffs.
Likewise, man. I'd look forward to it.
It's always fun to get Jabari Davis on the show. We're going to catch up with him again next Friday, and we'll continue to dive a little bit deeper into the NBA playoffs. We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We will be back on Monday. Do not forget Emory High School football coming up here, 6:25, I believe, is what time the pregame show is going to begin. We'll be on the road in Millard. And then, of course, you can listen to the Carbon Dinos on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Be safe. I am out.